I'm back. Talk Radio 930 WTAD. First and foremost, thanks to Scott Hardy for sitting in for me for the last 12 days or whatever when I was on my big vacation to the national parks out west. It was a delight, and thanks to Refreshment Services Pepsi for making the Mary Griffith Show possible. Without them, we couldn't do it every day, and we couldn't do it without great guests. And back again, Brian Trowbridge is here. He is the principal at Lincoln Douglas Elementary in Quincy. But the things we're going to talk about today, the topics we're going to talk about today, are not just specific to Lincoln Douglas School, but to education everywhere. So Principal Trowbridge, thank you for coming in, and welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So we were talking briefly before we got started. And, you know, I always say, I bet you're looking forward to the end of school. And, you know, really, people who like their jobs, they don't look forward to the end of school. You're going to miss those little kiddos, aren't you?
Oh, yes. Yeah. And it's amazing how much they grow working with kindergarten through fifth graders. You know, it's fun to see that growth over the summer and when they come back, how much taller they are. And no, that's an exciting part of you know, being able to work at that age group. So.
That is. And K through five, that's a wide disparity from their maturity levels and everything. Recently, they had an event that kind of got the fifth graders kind of ready to go to junior high. You know, everybody's proud of their school. Everybody loves their school. And now all of a sudden, you can't be loyal to Rooney or you can't be loyal to Lincoln Douglas or to Denman or Isles because you have to go and be a junior high Comet. Mm. And you tried to get them ready for that, I think, with this kind of day together where you could get all the fifth graders from all the schools together and kind of mix and match them around so that they would maybe meet a new friend or at least say, there's one person I'll know in the hallways. Talk a little bit about why that was instituted and how important it is. Somebody's moving to another level right now, whether you're in Quincy or wherever. They're getting ready to move up somewhere. They're going to get a new teacher. They're going to get a new building maybe. They're going to get a new curriculum. Give us some advice for parents, and how did Quincy kind of solve this problem?
It's a step. It's a transition into middle school, and it's an important step. And it's just like any other type of change. You know, it's always going to be a little bit stressful for everyone, but I think getting them acclimated to the building, getting them familiar with the surroundings is important. When we work with students that are coming in to us, whether it's in kindergarten or transferring in over the summer, we encourage parents to bring them out to the school and get them, you know, familiar with the playground. So it's the same type of idea, but just at a middle school level. The other wonderful layer to what we're doing with Quincy Public Schools is, you know, the RCA, the Ron Clark Academy, bringing all the fifth graders together out at Flynn was a wonderful opportunity for them to network and get to know each other in their houses, not necessarily as a Rooney or a Lincoln Douglas, but as a Protos or Revere. So that was a neat opportunity and neat experience for students and staff as well.
It is troubling sometimes for parents because kids have trepidation. I mean, I've been a mentor in the schools for a long time. And when I was at Barry Ann, I remember one little kid just having a meltdown. I mean, they loved Barry Ann. They were not going to go. At that time, it was to the middle school. They were under no circumstances going to go to Baldwin Middle School. They loved Barry Ann, and they were staying there. If they had to be a third grader the rest of their life, that was fine. Well, I'm sure they've graduated by now and they're doing quite well, but you build so much respect and loyalty. It's a double-edged sword, isn't it? Because every May you've got to break that down just a little bit and say, okay, you'll always be a Lincoln Douglas student, you know, but you've got to move on now and become a Comet.
Yeah, that's part of the transition. You know, we're all Comets at heart and we're all Blue Devils at heart. So we're all one family.
Right.
It's building them up to go on to that next step is very important. You know, a lot of times it's not just our teachers and our staff that are building them up. It's our PTO, it's our PTAs in each of our buildings. I know, you know, whether it's connecting them with QJHS Comet gear at recognition before they go on for summer. So those are great ways to help support that transition.
Okay. And it's, there's also always a transition for teachers, too, because some are returning to that same assignment. Some are moving to another assignment. And one of the things that Principal Brian Trowbridge and I talked about a little bit in the green room The most stressful time for a school principal is hiring and making sure you've got enough staff for next year. So here we're not even done with this year, and you're already starting to look forward to next year. This has been a problem across all school districts, not having enough qualified teachers. So let's just break it down. Is it getting better, or is the shortage still there and worsening? So I just want to kind of, you know, is it getting better, or is it in fact getting worse?
Well, I don't, to be honest, I don't have exact numbers on,
well, yeah,
on that.
Yeah, I don't
but
expect
I would
you to.
Say
but
what I notice is the number of student teachers that are coming through. And there was a time when, you know, we would have anywhere from 4 to 5 to 6 student teachers in a school year, and we're getting 2 right now. So I think that's the gauge that I'm looking at, is, you know, how many are in these programs coming from the universities, and how many opportunities are we having to bring them in and getting them to meet our staff and learn those foundational skills in education. So that number is, I think it's gotten a little, it's gone up a little bit from about 2 years.
But
it's lower than I would like. But
it's lower than is necessary to really have a great recruitment where you have dozens and dozens of resumes to choose from. It's much too low for that. The other great thing, though, about student teaching is if they like the program that they student teach at, which is a crapshoot because you don't know, they may come and become a permanent teacher, and you already have some idea. Because let's face it, not everybody's good. You can study that in college and go to your student teaching level, and you still may not be good, but you at least have actually seen them in the workforce. So you know whether you want to offer them a job or whether you would not want to offer them a job.
It is definitely an opportunity and a networking opportunity for us in both directions. You know, it's kind of like my experiences. I did, grow up in Quincy. I got my my licensure from Illinois State, and then student taught in Springfield. But, you know, if you have the opportunity to get back closer to home, it's something you always have to keep in mind as well. And so I think across the board in education, there's a lot more opportunity for students that are going into education and becoming teachers. Like if they're able to, they're want to go closer to home. I think that's an opportunity that is better now than it was 20, 25 years ago, for
well,
sure.
Well, let's hope that we can get great teachers in all of our schools in Missouri, Iowa, and Illinois this year, because a lot of people are retiring. You're probably noticing that. You've got a little snow on your mountain, too, but you don't look like you're too.
Hey, I'm just glad there's still snow to have.
I'm glad you still got hair. Yeah. Yeah. Nobody, you never get mad if anybody says you got snow.
No, it's there.
My poor husband wishes he had snow on his mountain. he's above the tree line, as we say. But, you know, this retirement situation, it's exacerbating the problem, isn't it? Because when you lose that experience, you can't, I don't care how good anybody is and how kind their heart is, there's something to be said for 5 years experience in the classroom that nobody can teach you in college. Nobody can teach you that anywhere. You have to learn that on your own. And when you lose experience, that is a blow, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I think what we're seeing is obviously the need is there, the demand is there, the opportunity is there for them now to extend after retirement and have a footprint in an educational system, whether it's in Missouri or Illinois or Iowa. So the opportunity for retired educators to give back or continue with that in some way is better now than it was 5 years ago. So I think
they've changed the rules, because
right.
It used to be you got your cushy, as some people would say, teacher's pension, and then you'd go back and teach. So it'd be like me retiring from WTAD, taking my pension, and then tomorrow I'm still here, and I'm getting paid a per diem. And, you know, that's at the taxpayer's expense. So a lot of people were, like, really irritated with that. However, when we had the serious teacher shortage, the state of Illinois and other states said, you know, these people are quite capable. And
the demand didn't change.
And so, and the other thing that's really great about your profession and why people should consider this as a profession, trouble is all the things that are great about a teaching profession or, quote, a government job, you don't care about those things when you're 21 or 22. You don't care about your retirement. You don't care about that stuff. You know, you're not thinking about that. But truly, you can retire with an Illinois full teacher's pension. Can't you go across the river in Missouri and work full time?
Yes. You have to build up towards your retirement there.
Well,
to
I know, but
that.
Who cares?
Yeah.
I'm still getting my full. Right. I'm still getting my pension, and I'm getting a paycheck.
Yeah.
So it's one of the great jobs when you do retire from one state. If you live in Quincy, you can jump right across the river and, you know, 10-minute drive, and you're at your next job or vice versa. So there's a lot of benefits to being a teacher. Sometimes the taxpayers are a little bit irritated by that. But, you know, hey, I think COVID taught us one thing. Everybody thought it was really easy to be a teacher until COVID, and all the moms and dads had to become teachers, and then they found out, thank God we pay people to do this because we're not capable of doing this on our own. So what is it like specifically at Lincoln Douglas? Did you have gaps this year that you had to kind of, you know, barbed wire and baling wire and duct tape around, or were you okay this year? And where do you think for next year?
Yeah, from a staffing point of view, we were fully staffed. We had, you know, great opportunities for those hires that came in this school year. So we've been blessed in that regard. And outside of that, you know, new curriculum that we're, as a district, that we're putting in for ELA and for math has been a big part of our school year this year. And so, but that's a normal transition that occurs every, you know,
six years. New curriculum next year in early childhood. Yeah. You know, it's going to take a while to get on board. But, you know, the good news is the teachers have to adjust, but the kids don't, because they don't know any different.
From our end of it, you know, it creates an opportunity for you to refresh as an educator, as a teacher. And so while it's change and it is challenging in that regard, but, you know, the benefit is, you know, it's kind of revitalizing. It kind of refresh what you're doing.
You can't phone it in.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But
not.
I mean, I don't say that to be disrespectful, but I have a friend who's a college professor, and he teaches basically the same.
You get into your routines and your systems.
I mean, you know, he teaches the same four classes. Some semester he doesn't teach every class, but I mean, he basically has. He knows on day three of the course,
week four,
you know, what test is going to be, you know. And so sometimes it is great to have that refresh and reset. And every teacher needs that. We're talking today with Brian Trowbridge. He is the principal at Lincoln Douglas School. What is your, are you the Eagle? What are you?
We are the Eagles.
The Eagles. Okay. Okay, good. It's so interesting because Douglas was from Quincy. And yet everybody, of course, is a fan of Lincoln. Yeah. Is there any effort to try to get people to like Douglas at Lincoln
Honestly,
Douglas?
Honestly, that has not been an issue
issue.
Topic of discussion at all.
Because, you know, in fact, and this is a great thing to talk about when you talk about two adversaries that can have a name together a school. When Lincoln was elected and Douglas was defeated, Lincoln sent Douglas down to the South to try to negotiate to prevent and then shorten. Unfortunately, Douglas died before he could get any of that done. But, you know, it just goes to show, just like your houses and you're getting together, if you can name a school after Lincoln and Douglas after their great debate, everybody can find compromise.
That's right. Bring it all together.
Something to start with. I've already given you your opening speech for next year, the first day of school. We are talking today with Brian Trowbridge, and we're talking about all issues related to schools. Of course, teacher staffing is an issue, getting children ready for that next step because there's transition. Even going, if you're not moving building, you're getting a new teacher, you know, some of your friends may move away, you may be changing. Lots of things are happening this time of year, and we're going to continue to discuss that. And if you've got a question or comment that you'd like answered, maybe you don't really understand how something works in our school system, give us a call at 223-9300, 1-800-228-WTAD. We'd be happy to try to answer that question with an expert right here. This Farm Market Report is brought to you by Rex Battery. We're back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD. Brian Trowbridge, the principal of Lincoln Douglas School, is my guest this morning. We've talked a little bit about getting teachers. There still is a shortage. I mean, it's not as critical maybe as it used to be. Quincy Public Schools are managing better than some, and that comes down to money. Okay, so you've been in this game a long time. Is it just offering more money, or what, if you had the ideal world and you could control, you know, the factors that would make you be able to hire people at Lincoln Douglas School, do you need more money? Do you need smaller class size? I mean, more teacher pay is what I mean. More teacher pay, is it a smaller class size? It's, you know, a cafeteria for the teachers only where they have better food. I mean, what is it that's going to make this teacher shortage go away? Because I think a lot of people think just throwing money at the problem, which never hurts, but I think a lot of people in the classroom are looking for other things besides just money to make their teaching more easy. What do you hear from teachers that sometimes when they quit, they are irritated with a factor? Is there a factor that you think we could control?
I think it's just like any other employment opportunity. You know, think about the career path that you enjoyed. When you enjoyed going to work, you enjoyed the experience of work and the people you worked with. I think that is much more important on retaining, you know, bringing in teachers and then also retaining staff. Is that opportunity for building those connections so that there's a positive experience and they enjoy the process of working for Quincy Public Schools. So that is much more important than some of the other factors. You know, it's kind of one of those things, like, what are you wanting to attract? You're wanting to attract someone who's going to come in, be a willing learner, want to work with others, want to work with children, and you want them to do it. You want them to do it for.
I can't stand children. Do you have an opening at Lincoln Douglas School?
And you want them. You know, ideally, you want it to be something they enjoy doing for 20 years. You know, you want that longevity, and so I think that experience is much more important than the other factors.
You know, money, obviously. You know, nobody goes to a job interview and asks first, how much am I going to make? Or you usually don't get a second, and you usually short interview if that's the only thing you're worried about. But you cannot discount the fact that one of the reasons Missouri is having more trouble than, say, Quincy is because, all things being equal, we pay a lot more money than 30 miles to the west of us. And so if I don't really care where I live, and I mean, if I think I'll be able to find this compadre, these people, I'll get along in this companionship and all this, and I like kids, I can certainly like a kid in Quincy, Illinois, as much as I like one in Edina. And that's really part of the problem, the disparity in a lot of benefits, salaries, and working conditions. And the working conditions make a difference. How much pushback do you get from teachers when, like, you know, because every year the class advances. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden a teacher may have had 18 kids in his or her room this year, and next year, because there's nothing we can do about it, they're going to have 22. That's just something people kind of accept, or is there pushback?
Well, the biggest thing is, you know, identifying ways to support that change and support that change for that individual classroom, that set of students, that classroom teacher, and using the resources in our buildings to support that environment. So, I mean, is it different from 18 to 22? Absolutely. It's different from 18 to 24, you know. But that's the beauty of what we can offer, is the opportunities to support differently so that transition is smooth.
Now, another question, and it's been quite a time since we've redistricted Quincy Public Schools, and each school was supposed to have X number of students optimally, and each school was supposed to be socially and economically diverse so that there wasn't a good school in Quincy and a bad school in Quincy. And it's been a couple of years now. As far as just sheer population, is there, what's the word I'm looking for? You know the word I'm looking
Shifts,
for.
Changes, yes.
Yeah, I mean, comparability is not the word I'm looking for, but is there an equality among, like, you know, once if every school has 300, every school has 300 or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Is that working out, or are you finding that some schools are taking on a little bit more?
Well, that's one of the things that as a district we're continuing to monitor, and we've been doing that from year to year since the transition to the K-5s, and we continue to watch those trends that in population shifts and we, you know, make sure that we're trying to stay within specific parameters on, you know, why we went in this direction in the first place. And I think as a district, we've been able to do that. I think we have to continue to monitor that and be ready for shifts as they arise.
How many kids go to Lincoln Douglas?
So we're at 572, is the most recent. At one point this year, we were over 590.
So people move.
So in and out, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's across all of our elementaries.
Right.
And they could be moving from one elementary to the next,
right.
You know. So
they could be moving across the country,
right.
Or just and the homelessness population is a problem too, because I mean, if you're living, you know, on the north side of town and then you become homeless and you're living in your car, you can always take your kids back to the school they were going to, but
yes.
Then you get a new apartment and maybe, you know,
Yeah. So just, as you know, life situations shift. You know, we as a district are always ready to help support and yeah, they always have an opportunity to stay at that home school. We will make sure we get them there, and we want to keep the fewer transitions. So think about when we went from, you know, we had Baldwin Intermediate, we had junior high, and then we had the high school. We had all those transitions between. Like, it's the same for individual students, especially if they're in the homeless in a homeless situation. You know, we don't want to create another, you know, situation where we're causing change to occur from one building to the next, because, you know, there is data that shows that, you know, as we transition, you know, there is a longer growth period. So we want to reduce those transitions as much as possible, which was a wonderful reason why we went to these K-5s. That has helped.
So I don't expect you to know off the top of your head, but is Lincoln Douglas's population there of 592?
Well, we're 572 now.
572. Yeah. So, okay. So is that about the same as all the others, or is there one that's really low?
No, I mean, they're within range. I mean, we do have some that are quite a bit lower, but again, that's we're not talking hundreds lower or
right.
anything like that. But, you know, it's one of those things where you've got to just be responsive to shifts in the
living
areas.
Well, they build
areas.
A big subdivision somewhere, and,
yeah.
you know, the kids are going to want to go to the closest school. And the closest school may not be the best school. I mean, I don't know. Like I said, I'm an expert on raising children because I've never had them. But I mean, if my kid said, you can go to the school, you know, here, and there'll be 25 kids in your child's class, or you can go across town and there'll be 17 kids, I'd be like, get me across town. Just because I know that the more attention a child receives, the better. And you know that too. And that's why you try to keep class sizes reasonable, and why sometimes you have to be careful. I mean, obviously, you're going to allow brothers and sisters to come to the same school, but there may be somebody who's getting ready to enroll. Like, for example, if there was somebody who's getting ready to enroll at Lincoln Douglas and you felt you were over capacity in some way, would you say, you know, it might be best if you choose X?
So, yeah, we've got a system in place with enrollment. If we get to a point where we have full classrooms, we've got as a district, we've got a plan on the next steps on what we can offer for, you know, that family. And the beauty of it is the services across each of the K-5 buildings are the same. What we can offer at Lincoln Douglas can be offered at Rooney and Baldwin,
right.
and Isles and Denman. It's,
and you know this, so I'm going to put you on the spot because you hear it. I've heard it, but you know what's funny? I've heard 4 different people tell me that an elementary school was the best elementary
that's
school.
That's great.
But, you know,
that's
it's
great,
like,
to hear.
That's
what
great.
We want.
I mean, that's what you want. Is there one emerging where, and for maybe no reasonable reason at all, is there a school now that is the it grade school that everybody wants their kid to go to? Besides of you being the principal Lincoln Douglas, obviously.
Hey, honestly, as a building or as a district, like, each of the buildings have, you know, the staffing and the leadership in each of these buildings are amazing. you know, I've had opportunities to work with a lot of the different administrators in each of the buildings, and you know, we really do work together to try to develop similar systems mm-hmm. and programming to support, you know, student needs and shifts in what those needs are. And so I think the buildings, like what we've done as a community, is amazing to see how it helps families, how it is impacting student growth, and how it is supporting teacher retention. I do think it makes a difference. When we have things set up in the right ways, I think it does impact on how people enjoy, you know, working and staying with QPS. So, no, to answer your question, no, I think we're all have amazing schools, and each of these K-5s are amazing places to work.
Well, I think you, just anecdotally, you may be correct, because like I said, I don't have a dog in the fight. And I have heard several people say, you know, oh, I'm so glad my kid goes to X. I wouldn't want them to go to Y. And then I hear another person say, God, I'm so glad my kid goes to Y. I wouldn't want them to have to go to X. And so I think the key there, and maybe the admonition to parents, is grow where you're planted, build good relationships with your parent-teacher association, with your teachers, with your principal, with your lunch lady, with the janitor. Because so much of your child's happiness, it's so bizarre. Of course they love their teacher. But by golly, they love the lunch lady too. And that, you know, I mean, that
thing.
Can be
yeah.
a thing.
Yep.
Or if they have some extracurricular thing that they're doing and their little coach of that, whether that's academically or physically, or like you said, the house system, if they love their house and they're having a house meeting that day, they're going to get up and go to school.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Children they need great teachers. That's the backbone, but they need the whole spinal system that has to come around it.
And that's, you know, that's one of the things that I talk about with my staff quite a bit is, you know, that empowerment that you're working with kids, regardless of the capacity that you're here to work in the building, you know, you're interacting with kids, you're impacting their lives, you're building positive relationships with them that impacts in ways that you may not realize, but you're right. That might be the reason why that child gets up and is ready to get on that bus, because they want to see, you know, one of the lunch helpers or a custodian, and want to help them with the tables and things like that. So, yes, that is a big part of education, for sure.
My husband's a retired bus driver from Quincy Public Schools, and one year they were he was early childhood, and they were having a transition talk at early childhood about they're going to get to go to the big schools and everything. One little girl said, I've never ridden the bus. And this little girl said, oh, it's fun. Mr. Greg is great.
Yeah.
And the teacher said, well, Mr. Greg won't be your bus driver. And this little girl said, I'm not going.
It makes a difference. It
she
really does.
She is now in fifth grade, and she is
going,
matriculating.
Yeah.
Yes, we've solved the problem. But, you know, there again, it takes everybody to get those kids. It takes the parents to get them on the bus. It takes the bus driver to get them to school. It takes the teacher to teach them. It takes the lunch lady to feed them. It takes the janitor to make sure everything's okay. The whole thing is happening. Now, I know we've talked a lot at the junior high level about these liaisons. And I want to talk to you about the mental emotional part. And we'll take a break and we'll
okay.
come back, because academics, God, I hope you're doing it. Because if you're not doing it in K-5, Brian, you're screwing it up. But there's other parts of children's development too. And we'll get to that in just a minute. We are back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD. Brian Trowbridge is here, and we're going to talk about the social and emotional development of children. Who are these snowflakes that we're raising that can't deal with anything? No, I'm being facetious, but, you know, school, I mean, the traumatic things that happen to kids that we know as adults are going to be water off their back. You know, they're probably not going to remember it, but they may have an emotional memory of it, though. How important, and what are you doing, you know, at the K-5 level to support them socially and emotionally?
So think about when we look at a learner, one of the things we've recognized over the years is that their needs have to be met. And that means, are they fed? Are they clothed? You know, do they have everything they need to be at school and be successful? But that has gone, we are beyond that now with the social-emotional aspect, because we do see a need that we've got to have that piece regulated before learning can occur. Now, that doesn't always present itself right when they walk in. That might be something that happens after a transition from PE or music, or into a subject area where a student may not feel as confident, whether it's writing or math. And so we identify, you know, we collect data and we identify that, hey, this is when this student needs additional supports. And then we have people in our building inside the classroom. They can push into the classroom. They can actually work with the student outside the classroom. So we have different tiers of support for those students. You know, whether it's a student support family liaison, whether it is a social worker or a school psych, we've got tools. Administration a lot of times step in, or like you said earlier, the person that has a connection with that student may be a paraeducator, maybe a security guard. You know, we can connect those students in those moments with the people who, you know, they have a built relationship with to help them become regulated so that they can go back into that classroom or stay in that classroom and learn.
I love the term regulated. That was never used. I never had the nun say, Mary Kathleen, you're not regulated right now. I'd like you to go to the principal's office and get regulated. But the truth of the matter is we all need a calming down period sometime, and that's very difficult in a school setting because the teacher still has to teach. She cannot stop. He cannot stop to take care of this one kid's meltdown. Who can take care of the meltdown? And so I think that schools are becoming more perceptive that this is an important part. You can't concentrate on See Dick Run if you are, because your mom was taken to prison, that, you know, your right. dad was hauled off to jail that morning in handcuffs by the cops. That's going to affect you.
Mm-hmm.
And school can be a great escape for that, but you need somebody to help you with that great escape. They have a therapy dog at junior high. Shouldn't every school have a therapy
Bunny.
Dog?
Just,
Bunny
just working
is wonderful.
With Bunny the other day. We had Jackie out at the... out the building.
So she does come.
She's transitioning. She's going to be taking the fifth graders that we have across the district. She'll be working with them as sixth graders next
right.
year. So she's coming to each of the buildings and talking with us. So yeah, Bunny came with her. It was great.
So that's one way to get them to want to go to junior high is they get to see Bunny, huh?
That's right.
That is fantastic. Anything else for the good of the cause? I always do too much talking and never let the experts talk enough. What do you want the average parent out there to know? And what do you want the average taxpayer out there to know about Quincy Public Schools?
Well, first off, we're blessed to have the system, the QPS that we have, and the schools that we have, and the leadership that we have. It makes a difference. Right now, we're as K-5 buildings, we are getting ready for summer school, so we're getting rosters all finalized for that opportunity in June. We are putting class lists together. We are working with staff to wrap up the end of the year. A lot of celebrations with students. Our fifth graders are going to be going through recognition at each of the buildings before they go off to sixth grade. A lot of fun days at the end of the year to celebrate that with staff and students and families. So this is a busy time. We've had a lot of incentives, whether it's been for social-emotional learning, academic, all of our assessments have come through, and so we're doing a lot of celebrating with staff as well. It might be an extra recess. It might be a pizza party, So this is a fun time of the year as we're wrapping up the last 7-8 days.
And if your kid is recommended for summer school, parents, make them go.
Take advantage.
They're not recommending it because they want to work another month.
And seats are limited. Like, there's only so many that can come from each of the buildings, and so it's based on need. And so if you have the opportunity to do that, I think we're lucky, again, as a district to be able to offer that opportunity.
That is fantastic. As far as the taxpayers go, because we get that property tax bill and we see how much of it goes to Quincy Public Schools. You pay it too, I'm sure. Are we getting a value?
Oh, absolutely. My family and I, we moved back from a larger community before coming back home. And, I realized what I was paying in property taxes there. And I was like, man, we should move back to Quincy sooner. So, you know, it's about perspective and how, you know, where you are. I definitely see an education system here in Quincy that is above and beyond what I've seen in some other communities. I think we're very blessed to have it. And like I said, the leadership that we have.
Okay. Well, thank you. I think you're one of the great reasons that I'd want to send my kid to Lincoln Douglas. Brian Trowbridge, thank you. And I know you don't get the summer off, but have a good summer anyway. Okay.
thank you for having me.